Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Now, in the scripture, the expressions "this is my body" and "this is my blood" have been subject to widely varying interpretations throughout Christian history, especially as they are used as we go into the conversation of today. Now, what is undisputed, however, is that when Jesus said these words at the table, he gave a timeless instruction on communicating his sacrifice. Now, there are many ways to communicate, right, from verbally to using sign language and body language and so forth. But have you ever considered food as a language? Whenever you eat a particular food, you're communicating a particular message. Now, Mfundisi Phiri joins us now, Pastor John Phiri, to talk to us about the communicating power of the Holy Communion. And that's what we're going to be touching on for the next couple of days. Do join us for this series, and you can share your thoughts, your comments with us on +27 73 470 3520. He joins us now on the line. And Mfundisi, good morning to you and welcome to the show.
Good morning, my brother. How are you?
No, we're doing okay, Pastor. Trusting that we find you well as well.
Yeah.
Marvelous stuff. Thank you so much for joining us, and truly appreciate your time this morning.
My pleasure.
Thank you. So let's jump straight into the discussion for this morning here. We are looking at the Holy Communion, and then there's also a Lord's Supper. Maybe define these two events for us and maybe separate them as to which is which and which is which one.
The Lord's Supper and the Holy Communion, in a sense, these are the same and one thing.
Okay.
Maybe it's just a question of who is speaking. Just like language is dynamic, you have people using this word other than the other word. But among the Protestants, the most commonly used term is the Lord's Supper. What it means, it simply refers to the last meal which Jesus had with the disciples during the Passover period. And so, looking at Jesus, a holy being, a God, and so the communion is sometimes referred to as a Holy Communion.
Okay.
So in a sense, it's the same thing that we're talking about.
And what is it, Mfundisi, when you are talking about it? Why is it such a big deal? I mean, I'm sure Jesus had many other meals. Why this particular one, and why apparently it's now being commemorated and remembered?
Yeah, the significance behind it is what makes it a whole big deal.
Okay.
You remember the children of Israel have been in Egypt for about 430 or 450 years, and God visited them to deliver them out of the bondage. And you remember the things that surrounded their coming out of that bondage, where God visited with death to the Egyptians. And on the very last night, the Israelites were instructed to slaughter a lamb or a goat and eat that meat while standing. And the next morning, they were leaving Egypt. You remember that? And after that, they were advised to say, when you go out of this place, you have settled in the land that I'm giving you, make sure you don't forget what God did to you. Remember this, commemorate it. So they started what is known as the Passover, which had been a practice among the Jews until Jesus comes. And when he comes, he actually participates in this. And it is at this very last day of his participation in this event when he comes up with something that we are calling the Lord's Supper, something like a new thing, but it's not a new thing. I'll put it this way. Jesus defines or gives the interpretation of what the Passover was actually supposed to mean. It meant God has delivered the people from bondage into freedom. And what happened was, they had to rely on the blood which was given through the lamb. And here the true lamb has come, who is Jesus, the Lamb of God. So he has come now, not just to deliver us from the physical bondage, but from the spiritual bondage of sin. And so it's only done by his death. That's why there's the blood. And when he is giving the emblems, he says, look here, this bread that you've been eating through the during the Passover, it represents my body. And this wine, it's my blood. So he's giving that significance. So that's why this thing is very important. It's a reminder that we are no longer slaves to sin. We have a Savior who has died for us. And he says, I've done it for you. Remember this as long as you live. So the significance, why is it a big deal? It's a big deal because of that connection. Yeah.
Powerful, powerful stuff. Muruti, take us through, maybe someone is tuning in who is wondering, okay, what is this that they're talking about? I mean, we just had the children's story earlier on, which was talking up as well about this Passover issue, and they were talking about eating a lamb, standing up with bitter herbs and whatnot, and painting doorposts with blood and whatnot. Maybe let's walk someone through what happens during this Last Supper, this communion service, this Lord's Supper. If they're to visit in a church where it's being done, what are they going to find?
Okay. It starts with the Passover, as we already alluded to that, where they were advised to have unleavened bread. This is a bread that has not been that has not been given yeast into it.
Okay.
And the symbol there was simply to let the people be free of anything that could do ferment, so to say, just like sin would do corrupt a soul. So it was a symbol where it was communicating to say, we want you to be free of any evil in you. So it's like you have to be, if there's any sin, you know, confess it. Make sure you have made amendments with your friends, if there are strained relations, everything, because you're coming before a God who has delivered. You can't continue to be in bitterness and stuff like that.
Okay.
So that is what comes into this. And as part of that, the Jews, they have this custom of foot washing. They would wash each other's feet. And Jesus uses that at this Last Supper, where he takes a basin and begins to wash the disciples' feet. You remember in John chapter 13? When he even comes to Peter, Peter says, no, you're not supposed to wash me. Why are you doing this? And Jesus says, you okay? You don't understand what I'm doing right now. But later on, you're going to understand. And he says, no, but you are not supposed to wash my feet. I'm supposed to wash yours. Just says, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, then you're in trouble. You're not going to participate in whatever is coming up for the future. And so Peter says, no, then you wash the whole of me. Just say, oh, you don't understand. You don't need to wash the whole body. Because this is just symbolic. All you need is to do so. When there's Lord's Supper, you find the rituals of feet washing, where those participating are supposed to wash each other's feet. The idea is to say it's like a process of humbling myself, willingness to save one another.
Okay.
But more than that, it's where I'm saying I'm confessing. Actually, it is supposed to be a confession moment where if there's anything traceable in me that is wrong, I'd say, Lord, forgive me. I want to be at one with my neighbor. I want to be at one with you. Remember, God said, how can you say you love your God when you don't love your neighbor? It doesn't add up with God, you know? So there's feet washing in brief, and there's the sharing of the bread and the wine. That's what happens there.
Amen.
Of course, when you finish the chapter that talks about this whole thing in John chapter 13, the Bible adds to it that after they did that, there was a singing of some song. So there's fellowship, you're singing as well during this event. Yeah.
Mfundisi, you make mention of John and how Peter wants to be not part of the service, if you will. And Christ says, okay, if you don't become a participant here, then you will not participate in anything to do with me going forward. How important is this Holy Communion and participating in it, especially as a believer? How vital is it?
I'll just point back to what happened during the Passover thing in Egypt. You know, something very interesting happened. God said, when you slaughter the lamb, make sure you have taken part of the blood and smeared on the doorpost. And what's going to happen is this. If my angel of death passes and sees that, he's going to pass over. So that's where the whole name Passover comes in. He's not going to come and kill you and destroy you. In other words, if you don't have the blood, you dare make that mistake. You have exposed yourself to the death that is coming by this angel. He's going to kill you. And so even the Egyptians who took advantage of that and smeared the blood on their paws, most likely they were not killed, because at the end of the day, the angel had to pass over because of the soul. If I choose not to participate in the Lord's Supper, it's like I'm staying in a home that doesn't have blood smeared on my doorpost. I'm exposed. I'm under the devil. I am under death. I'm not saved. I'll not be saved. That's why I just said, you don't understand what I'm doing. Just accept it for now, because If you don't want to participate in this, you have no part with me. So it's very important for believers not to miss the Lord's Supper, because it speaks of our trust in Him, our belief in Him, our acceptance of what He has offered in His death.
Now, you make reference, Mfundisi, and you keep making reference to the similarities between Passover and the Lord's Supper, especially considering that He takes the meal that they are eating is the Passover meal when He then institutes this Lord's Supper. Now, question that will come is, when should then the Lord's Supper be done? It's a twofold question, Mfundisi, and maybe you can address the both. The first one is, we're talking frequency to say, is it also then supposed to be once a year, like the Pesach was supposed to be eaten once a year? Or that's the one. And then number two is, we have the Pesach being the example, like you're saying, and that was eaten in the evening. It's an evening meal. And we have this name now being adopted, the Lord's Supper. Supper is usually a dinner meal happening in the evening time. Is that also then the thinking that with this meal, this Lord's Supper should be done also in the evening? Maybe talk to us about these two points.
It's a good question, and many people struggle with that because they say, how can you celebrate the Lord, you're calling the Lord's Supper and you're doing it in the day? How come?
It should be the Lord's breakfast.
but the point is, you know, there's two things here. Let's confess, or let's admit that the Passover happened in the night. That's very correct, but we need to understand, why did it take place during the night hour? When you go back to the book of Exodus, you notice that God was actually saying, tomorrow in the morning you are leaving. So these people are leaving in the morning.
Okay.
There's no way they're going to do this supper thing in the afternoon. And otherwise they were going to attract all these things. And the next thing that was happening was the angel going and killing. And it had to happen that night. So that's why it happened in that way. But now come to what Jesus says when He comes. Peter says, no, you're not supposed to wash my feet. If you want to wash my feet, then you have to wash the whole of me.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, no, you're misunderstanding. So Peter had a literal understanding, interpretation of the things, sort of literalism, if you allow me to use that word. Jesus said, no, that's not about it. This is just symbolic. So because it's symbolic, it may not necessarily happen the way you do it traditionally, to say, when I'm washing, I have to wash the whole body. So similarly, in principle, the fact that this is symbolic simply tells us something of significance that Jesus did. Does not necessarily need to happen as it happened when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt. So that we should say, no, it should have to be in the night. No, we may have maintained the name. That's okay, just for the reference purposes, but it can be celebrated at time of the day, because the idea behind it is to say, I accept Jesus who died for me. I understand what He did, and I'm willing to be part of this salvation. You can't just do it in the night just because it was initially started in the night. No. So I would say Jesus Himself hints at the departure from the ritual time in terms of what He says when he looks about the application of it. That's it. Now, in terms of the frequency, how often do I do that? You know, Himself, He says, do this as often as you can. Because you need to remember about me and about what I've done and achieved for you until I come. So the frequency thing is an open thing. There's nothing like you can do it once, twice, or three times, or whatever. Actually, I would dare say, in principle, you can even do it every day of your life, which is you're supposed to do. Now, we need to put caution, you know. Okay. Sometimes the problem with the human brain or us in terms of what we do, when we overdo something, it tends to lose its significance.
True.
So that's where church or believers will say, no, I just, we can do it every day in principle, two, three, four times a day. Then we don't want it to lose its significance. So that's why I would say, maybe we can do it once a week, or we can do it once a month. Some prefer to say we can do it once in 3 months, every year. So it's to preserve that significance, that reverence, so that when you go before this ritual, you still have that awesomeness. The nominus of God should come into your mind. And then you say, really, not where you're simply overused to the thing. The short of it is to say, it can be celebrated as many times as one wants, as long as they preserve the significance. They don't get to be overused over that. You know, over familiarity is a problem.
True.
So, but to maintain, to preserve that, knowing our weaknesses, it's better to do it at some regular intervals,
okay,
maybe once a month, once a week, it's okay. People feel like once a quarter, that's even fine. But don't give it too long before you do it.
So there isn't a prescription, so to speak, but you want to give a regularity that doesn't make the service cheap, but also doesn't make it too far apart that you forget about it.
It's a principle of just being
I get you. Get you.
That's why when you go back to the New Testament, you'll be surprised. Every time the disciples are meeting, there's a Lord's Supper of the kind. They're meeting during midweek. There's a breaking of bread there, a communion of the kind. So it's because they had to regularly remind themselves, our Lord saved us. He's coming again and stuff like that. But over familiarity could be an issue. That's why you'd say, let's regulate it one or the other.
Amen. Furisa, when you were responding in the past question, you mentioned two things that maybe I want us to then utilize as we wrap up our session this morning. Number one, you kept mentioning this idea of symbolism to say it wasn't really about the actual details, but the symbolism is supposed to represent something. And then you also make the same mention when you talk about Christ and how he then says, do this often to remember me. In other words, this is not about the eating of this thing, but rather that this thing is communicating, is a language. It's supposed to tell us of something, remembering Christ. Talk to us about what the Holy Spirit, the Holy Communion is supposed to represent. What's its purpose? What is it supposed to tell us whenever we participate, be it once a week, be it once a month, be it once a quarter, like you are saying? What are we supposed to be seeing when we partake in the table?
When we are taking the table, as I've already mentioned, as I was explaining some of the things, the first thing is to appreciate that God loves us so much, to the point that he was willing to shed his blood. He died for us. So we are forgiven. So it communicates forgiveness, but at the same time, it also communicates that Jesus is coming to take us. That's what he even said himself. As you do this, remember that I'm coming. I'm not eating with you this again until you see me in the glory.
Okay.
So it reminds us about his nearness, the coming of the Lord again, take us home. So it communicates hope. It tells us, in spite of all the things that we're going through now, that we are a saved people. Sooner than later, we are going to be there where he has prepared us a big supper for all of us. We're going to be happy and enjoy ourselves. So part of it is also that. The issue of preparation, it reminds us to say, you cannot afford to be a believer of Christ and you keep animosity, jealousy, envy, hatred, and all this racism, alcoholism. Then what are you talking about? So when we do that, it helps us to confess, to cleanse ourselves, to wash ourselves of prejudices and diseases that, you know, separate us. That's part of it. So when we are doing that, it has all these things communicating to us. It's a communication of humility. We need to be saving one another, you know. He said, who would like to become greatest among you? Let him be the smallest, you know. If you want to be great, be small. So that's what he taught. So it teaches humility. So those are some of the things that the event communicates besides the other things that I may not have mentioned.
Amen and amen. Wow. Thank you so much, my pastor. Sure. Truly appreciate that and profound lesson and a way to start off the day and this series that we're going to be having this week. Any closing remarks that you'd want to leave to say when all is said and done about this idea of communion and how we ought to partake?
I would say, if we all understood what this ritual means, we'd jump up and say, Lord, we thank you for what you did.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Forgive us and to ensure that we are protected and giving us hope that you're coming to take us home. So I would simply say, as believers, let's grab this opportunity whenever it is presented. Don't miss. I have seen people who walk away from Lord's Supper and they think that when they're walking, because they feel they're too sinful, they cannot do otherwise but walk away. It's a serious mistake one can ever make. In fact, if there's death that should find you, let it be finding you when you are at the feet of the Lord himself. So I would encourage to say, let's grab this opportunity, celebrate as much as we can. Let's observe whatever is taught us to observe. Let us be at one with one another, because we can't afford to be divided and be talking about Christ's coming. So the communion should speak peace and hope and unity among us. Thank you.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. May God bless you until we chat again tomorrow. Blessings.
God bless you too.
Thank you. That's Pastor John Petty. They're taking us through the introduction to our study this week, looking at the Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, as he said it. And I love how Christ makes mention there to say, hey, this year is for those who have washed, that every now and again they're reminded you need to clean your feet, you need to clean your hands, be washed, be consecrated. What a way to start the day. Have you partaken? When last did you partake? Would you want to partake? Make sure you get in touch with somebody to assist you.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.